So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episode 10 of Life After Lockup, where Andrea and Lamar also seem to think the kids know better, Tony and Tommy go suit shopping, Michael and Sarah are working on baby number 3, John takes off his shirt again, Marcelino gets a wake-up call of beer, and Clint tries to trick his mom into giving him a ride. All that, and Students of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating so other people can find us. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. The weather got really good, so I'm super excited. All my windows are open. It almost feels like I'm in California now. Like, you just have all year long.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not, because it got all, like, cold and rainy randomly.
Oh, jeez.
This last week, I know. It's like we both can't have good weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is a lot of interesting things going on. I mean, no sooner do we say, you know, oh, this cast is really quiet on social media, and then literally half of the couples, like, blew up on social media this week, so... We have a lot of in-show recap stuff and some out-of-show social media stuff to talk about as well. So where do you want to start?
Oh, jeez. Okay. Let's just start with the one to get it out of the way because I thought it was like nothing with Lacey, Shane, and John. They had like barely anything.
Yeah, and I was going to say it was mostly a recap of last time. Like there's a lot of them being on the same video chat asking to take off his shirt.
Right. And then, like, so it was, like, the same thing from last week with Lacey on the video chat, plus, like, blurred out nipples, and that was
God. Yeah, pretty much. And then my first thought was, oh, my God, they're still building this trampoline, and then I realized, oh, it's the same.
Right. I was like, how long is it going to take them to make this trampoline?
I don't know.
Been, like, 5 minutes later.
Yeah, but Lacey's actually, I don't know, she says some things sometimes where I'm like, this girl, she kind of has a clue, but she says that she thinks Shane started a game of who could hurt the other one more. She's like, don't play this game with me. Yeah, because she's really good at that game.
It's not a very hard game. That's like...
No, I know, right? Just be trash.
Yeah, I have a game, it's a card game, I'm really good at it. It's called throw the cards on the floor and make a mess. But yeah, that's easy card game. There's no strategy involved there. You just
right.
do it.
Yeah, but she loves John because he's always there and he makes her comfortable and they understand each other. And it's like, yeah, I don't know, the loving because you're always there? I guess that's a reason.
I think she means, I think, and I hate to put words in her mouth, in her brain, because I don't know that there are that many words in her brain, but what she means is, like, he's always there for support. Like, when he needs her, he's always there to support her, instead of rather just like, well, I always turn around, and he's there. Whatever.
I find that interesting, because to me, that makes him seem pathetic, in a way. It's yeah. like... You know, no matter what you do to abuse him, he's always there.
Yeah, like a puppy, like a sad puppy.
Right. And I just feel like he shouldn't be there, especially after she pulled this whole Shane business.
No, he should be. I mean, they don't need each other. And I don't know what it would take for either of them to stop.
So John asks when Lacey is going to kick Shane out of the house. And I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't been kicked out of the house because she's very clearly trying to start things with John up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's very clearly being like all moody, mad at him. So why hasn't she kicked him out already?
I think she appreciates his sucking up at the moment. Like he's spending so much time sucking up and doing like, I'm sure he's doing all the chores. He's baking trampolines.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let him hang around.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I guess so. That means she would have to make the trampoline. She's probably not about that right now.
No, I don't think she's ever about that.
Right. Yeah, but she also says she feels guilty because he has nowhere to go. It's like, eh.
I mean, yeah, that is something to consider about somebody you ostensibly care about. Is like, kick him out where? Where is he going to go when you kick him out? Like, what? And I mean, is he contributing to the rent? I don't think he is, right? No, because he just got a job. Because if he's like contributing to the rent and he's pitching in for the rent, like, it's his place too. You can't just kick him out.
No, but she even says that, yeah, she said that she pays the bills, but this just, I see this happen a lot, like in couples, like, oh, they're just in a really bad place right now. I can't break up with them right now because they'd just be too sad. I'd be afraid that they would like hurt themselves, you know, like things like that where it's just like, I don't know. It's like you can't put a breakup on you, you know, like I get that she feels bad about his situation, but let's think about the situation where they weren't together at all. What would he do then?
Right. Well, he wouldn't be living there. He would have, you know, had a plan. It's kind of like, I get what you're saying though. It's like there's never going to be a good time to break up. It's not going to just all of a sudden decide, oh no, well now he has someone to move in with and now he has a way to pay his bills. And now like all this stuff is taken care of that just is going to magically happen unless he's actively looking for it because you're breaking up. You know, it almost seems like the reasonable thing to do isn't just to kick him out, to just be like, listen, you got a month, that's it, then you're out.
Yeah, right. Because I was gonna say, well, what was his plan before he met her? You know, can't he just go back to that plan?
But wasn't he in jail?
He's not starting with any more or less. Yeah, but he's not starting with any more or less than he had before, so I don't know. I feel like he should get it together. Anyways, she feels heartbroken and betrayed, and she admits that the trust isn't there, so why would she continue a relationship when the trust isn't there? And she's kind of talking that part out with John. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, yes, why would you stick around if the trust isn't there?
Right. That's true, but I don't know. She just likes having him around. She likes people who are there, and he's still there.
That's true. Yep. That's what love is.
Uh-huh.
Being there.
Just physical presence. That's it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's also what stalkers do, right? They're just there.
Right. Yeah. Well, like you said, the difference between being creepy and, you know, being flirty is sometimes just how attractive you are. So.
Well, I definitely think we've said this before because I think the difference between romantic and stalker is how the person feels about you.
Well,
so if they like you, it's romantic. If they don't like you, stalker.
Yeah. He left flowers at my door. Like, yeah.
Okay, stalker.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So who do you want to talk about next?
Okay, let's talk about Clint and Tracy.
Oh goodness. So they are a couple that had a very interesting social media week.
I heard. I actually couldn't suss out exactly what happened. So you're gonna have to fill me in on that because I was like,
oh goodness,
at work and I was like, I see things. I don't even know.
You're like, I don't even know what I see.
I don't even know what I see, and I have work to do. Like, let's move on.
The kids can wait, Mr. O. This is more important.
Somebody needed their work checked or something. It was dumb.
Yeah. Right, so Clint actually has somewhat of a history of kind of cheating on Tracy. I don't think it's come out so much on the show. I think there was something, if I recall, on the show where Tracy was suspicious, but it was very much implied, but they never, like, I think it was like some random text message she found, and then they kind of explained it away, you know, like nothing happened. They were just texts. It didn't mean anything. But Clint definitely has kind of a history of, I don't know, having more than one goddess at once.
Uh-huh.
He likes to surround himself with a harem of goddesses. Yeah, so my understanding of the social media drama that happened this week is, on the one hand, Clint had a court hearing from a DUI. And then Clint is currently seeing a new lady. And for some reason, Clint's phone is gone. So he has been using new lady's phone to call out Tracy for being on meth, not remembering her 3-year-old son's birthday, just being generally an ass to her and telling her to kill herself, and then basically doxes her on social media.
So wait, Clint did this?
Yes, Clint did
this. Did all those things. Okay.
Yes. Clint's, and I mean, this kind of goes back to what we've been saying, is that really the difference between Clint and Tracy truly is that Clint has enabling parents and the means to be, you know, kind of a functioning addict. Whereas Tracy doesn't have those same luxuries. She doesn't have a support system. She doesn't have financial means. And so Tracy, you know, ends up in jail where Clint, you know, can get out.
Right. So speaking of that support, where we meet him first this episode is actually at his mom's house.
Yes. Yep. So he goes to his mom's house. And if we recall from last episode, he was scared of Tracy coming back and getting mad about the drugs. And so he calls his mom, says he's going to go over to her house. So she asks him, what is he going to do?
And I mean, I don't know. He sounds like he's talking a good game, but I don't know. Even the mom's not totally convinced.
No, definitely like, well, not.
If she doesn't go to rehab, I guess it's over. Like,
right.
You know, I guess it's over if she doesn't go to rehab. Because the mom's like, what does rehab have to do with it? This is not the first time she's done this to you. How many times is she going to do this to you that you're going to keep taking it?
Yeah. So I think Alice has definitely been a bit of an enabler in the past. She, you know, really does. She's very much there for Clint. And she says, you know, she'll be estranged from her son if he gets back with Tracy. So I don't know if she'll actually follow through with it, because I feel like she said similar-ish things in the past.
Uh-huh.
Step in the right direction.
It is a step in the right direction, because at this point, she's right. At this point, it's starting to affect her life, like, negatively.
Right.
And, you know, major negatively, not like a minor negative thing. And she just can't do it anymore.
Right. And so Tracy texts him, because she ends up going back to the house just like he thought she would. And now he wants to go back to the house to talk to her. It's like, weren't you scared of her like 10 minutes ago and saying that you had to get out of the house because, you know, you were scared of what Tracy would do when she found out that you flushed the drugs?
Right. And, well, do we know what she texted him? Like, that might have made a difference.
I don't know.
But he was like, I don't know, the way he couched it is like, I want to go check on the dog. I just want to look at my dog. I want to make sure the dog's okay.
It's like, okay, why did you leave the dog there in the first place? You're the most neglectful owner ever. You're right. Like, oh, Tracy's going to be super pissed when she gets home and finds that there's no drugs. Yeah, let's leave the dog there.
Right. For how long? I don't know if they have, I guess they have a fence. Can the dog let itself out? Like, you can't just leave a dog, like, for a day. Just
yeah, that makes no sense. He's the worst. So, yeah. So he asks Alice for a ride. And then she says, no, I don't want to enable you. Which I'm like, good. Finally. Yes, Alice, I feel like you've been going to a therapist or something. And she's been talking to you about enabling your children.
It really did. Because she was like, because she almost sounded like she said, I'm not supposed to do that. Like, that's off my rules. Like, that's the rules said I couldn't do that. So I can't do that. As if they were somebody else's rules.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then he was like confused by it. He's like, how is that enabling me? You're giving me a ride. And she's like, no.
He's like,
yes, but
like the definition. I'm taking you to the lady who is been driving you crazy all the time.
Like, right. I'm driving you to the drugs.
Right.
Yeah. So Alice says feels like she's being used by both of them. And, I don't know if used is the right word for it, but she's definitely being taken advantage of and taken for granted.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he kind of knew that the answer might be no, because the way he asked, he was just like, well, just I was going to do this. And he was kind of waiting for her. He was waiting for her to, like, volunteer it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to go check on the dog. And she's like, that's great.
See ya.
And he's like, yeah, could I?
He's like, so Tracy has my car, so can I get a ride?
Uh-huh.
She's like, no, that's your fault that Tracy has your car.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah,
right, especially
definitely.
Because she didn't like give him a ride there. Like, I think he Ubered there. So, like, he definitely can get there without her anyway. Like,
right.
That's obvious.
Yeah. So Clint finally makes it back to his house, and he knows that she's home because he hears the dryer, but she's locked him out. So it's pretty much just him walking around every door trying to, like, bang on it and get her to pay attention to him.
He left the house with his dog in it and went to his mom's and didn't take a key with him? I'm very confused about this.
Clint is not smart. So, I mean, this doesn't surprise me. But yeah, you would think he would have a way to get into his own house. I doubt she's really barricading all the doors.
Oh, no, because he didn't even, like, it's not like he tried the key and couldn't open the door. He just, right. like, jiggled the handle and was like, ah, I'm locked out. Ah, like, I know she took your car keys, but, like, you have spare keys, right? Your mom has spare keys to your house. Like,
right. I don't know. Like I said, Clint, not the smartest. So
not the
that
smartest.
Was pretty much all they had with them this week.
All right. Do you have anybody you want to go to next?
Let's talk Maria, Michael, Sarah.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
Yes. So social media drama with them. So, actually, let's get to it after, because I don't want to spoil what's going on.
Oh,
because it's okay, all related.
So it's related to the show.
Yes, it is related to what's happening.
All right. So we ended last time with the Maria being like, that's my man.
And Sarah's like, that's my man. And us yeah. being like, well, is Sarah making out with him? Question mark. Because it certainly seemed right. that way.
Right. And there's two competing stories on this one.
Well, I mean, yes and no.
I mean, yes. He definitely slept over.
Yes.
Right. Well, he definitely stayed there that night.
Right. So they start off everything with Maria being interviewed because Michael mm-hmm. hasn't come home yet. And, you know, she's like, I don't need to be worried. He wouldn't jeopardize what we have. And it's like, why are you so special? I don't know why she thinks she's so special. You know, they haven't been giving her like an intro card or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And actually, we find out a little bit more about Maria on social media this week. Because how old do you think Maria is?
How old's Michael? So Sarah's like 25. Michael's like 27.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yes.
I don't know. I think she's older. I'd say she's like 32 or something.
She's 35. Seems interesting choice for Michael. All right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Maria has an interesting past. So I don't know. He picks some interesting people. I mean, Megan wasn't so terrible. I mean, at least she was on the straight and, like, what do they call it? The straight and narrow?
Straight and narrow. There you go.
Yeah. And Sarah, I mean, she's a good mom. I mean, she doesn't get in trouble. But Maria, it's like, where in the hell did you find Maria? Like, out on the streets. So Maria apparently got arrested back in November for assault on a person over the age of 65. It's like, the hell? How does that even happen?
Okay. I didn't know they had a special charge for, like, assaulting
the elderly. Yes, yeah. Apparently they do. So yeah, it's like, all right. And then she also has just a rap sheet of mostly prostitution charges. Now, granted, none of them are very recent. They were probably when she was in her very early 20s, maybe late teens. So she's had an interesting checkered past. But, I mean, the elderly assault was literally a few months ago. So crazy. I don't know.
Okay,
Maria's an interesting character.
All right, so the way I get it was I just couldn't believe anybody in this whole story. Like, I didn't believe anybody was telling me the whole truth about anything.
Okay, so we get to Michael's story.
Right, and we know Michael's story is not the full truth.
Oh, no. Right? Plus, he smirks the whole time. I don't think he's capable of lying, at least on camera. When uh-huh. he, you know, it's like low stakes. Who cares if he lies about this, you know, without like giving that stupid, like shit eating grin smirk.
Well, because that was, it was funny because the thing they started with, because the producers, you know, had cameras there and knew who was in the house and who wasn't. Like, they weren't in the house the whole time, but they, of course, didn't like leave all night. It's like right. they knew when people came and went. So, you know, they were like, well, was Sarah there? And he's like, no, Sarah stepped out and I stayed with the girls and she came back in the morning. And they're like, are you sure that's how it went down? Which should have been your cue, like a normal person's cue to be like, I think they might know the answer to this question already.
Right.
Right? But Michael, nope. He ain't going to give in. He's like, nope, I am positive that is what happened.
Gosh. Michael, also not the smartest one here. So Then they cut to Maria asking him where the hell he's been, because he rolls back to the hotel room around 11:30 in the morning the next day.
Right.
So it's not even like first thing in the morning. It's like,
no,
he doesn't even care about any kind of repercussions. He's just strolling on up, taking his sweet ass time. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Like, and that's something that I don't understand why Maria doesn't like see that. He really doesn't care.
No,
like,
he doesn't.
And she doesn't even have that hard of a time, but she, and I think that's partly because she knows if she gives him too hard of a time, he'll just leave. Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. I don't need this.
Maria, I can't figure her quite out yet. So then she, you know, gets mad because she says, you know, Michael broke the ground rules. And she knows how Sarah is. And so that's why they had the ground rules in the first place. And the ground rule was she needs to be in contact with him at all times. Like, she needs to have complete access to him when he's over at the house. So meaning if she texts, he needs to text back. And I mean, Michael is not good at that. I mean, every one of his girls should know that. If he's not answering, I mean, they've seen it. He will have his phone ring and he will sit there and ignore it. Yep.
Like, he does that, like, while she's fighting about this.
Yeah.
Like, literally while he's doing it.
Yeah, because Sarah is calling him nonstop at this point. So we find out why in a little bit. But we get back to Sarah, who starts to lie about what happened when the producers ask her. And then literally that lasted for like half a second because she's like, no, that's a lie.
No, that's a lie. Yeah. Yeah, but then she says that she changed. She literally had three stories because
Second
time she was like, "Oh no, we just stayed up all night. You know, he's my husband. We have a history. We were just chilling, like we were just vibing. Vibing is what she said."
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Right. But it's different from her first story of we slept in separate bedrooms with the two girls.
Right, which was funny the way she kind of went back and was like, "All right, no, that's a lie." Like,
yeah,
immediately.
Yeah. But then it comes out that they had sex, which I'm like, what are you doing?
That's what I'm not sold about. She is lying in one of those stories, two of those stories.
Two of the stories.
And I don't know which one it is. Like, I don't know if she decided that, like, no, I don't want to say. You know, I'm not sure she's not lying about the sex.
I don't know.
Like, they definitely hung out there all night and hung out. I don't know that they had sex. Because the whole thing, to me, the person she hates the most and that she wanted to take out the most and she wanted to hurt the most was Maria. And that's all she cared about. And saying she had sex with Michael or actually having sex with Michael isn't that big of a difference in how much it's going to hurt Maria.
Oh, sure. No, I absolutely agree that she has motive to lie, you know, because she really wants to stick it to Maria or Megan. You know, because it's like whoever had sex last is apparently winning in this weird ass game that they're playing.
Which is funny because Michael would pretty much do anybody. So like that's not really a part of, again, not a very hard competition.
Right.
Just like who can get this guy's pants off? It's just like anybody who tries, like that's it. Like
pretty much. But the reason why I think that is the truth is just how Michael reacted, like kind of laughing about it. And the thing is that if it was between talking and laughing the whole night or having sex, I mean, they're having sex, you know, but if it was between, you know, sleeping in separate rooms and, you know, having sex, that one is one where I'm kind of like, well, it could be sleeping in separate rooms, possibly. But like I said, with Michael's reaction, the way he kind of said, you know, nothing happened. Sarah left. That in itself kind of excludes the first option. So out of the other two, I think them sleeping together is much more likely. That's my take on it.
Okay, so I can't figure out why Michael, who keeps getting phone calls and texts in the middle of these conversations, doesn't turn his damn ringer off. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Brushing his teeth? And the iPhone, the standard iPhone ring is going on. Like, he doesn't hear them vibrate. Just because he knows every time Marie hears the phone, she's like, who's that?
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's like immediate.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I said, he's not the smartest. So he finds that Megan is calling him.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of when him and Maria are fighting.
Right. Does production just do that? Do they just have a person in Fort Worth? Do they have a person, like one of the people who call Megan and be like, yo, call him now. Now, call him now.
Like, maybe it's one of those things where he has Megan saved as someone from production. So when production calls him, it can show up on his phone as Megan. Yeah.
I don't think he saw the phone. Yeah.
Right. So Michael keeps on getting calls from Sarah, too. But the reason why he keeps on getting calls from Sarah is because he had promised Aviana that they were going to get ice cream that day or mm-hmm. do something else. But they were going to have like a daddy-daughter date. So Sarah right. is like, where the hell are you? And so she keeps on calling him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because that's what she told him last time, like before. She's like, I need you to answer the phone. It's not going to be me.
Right. Like, this literally happened 12 hours earlier.
Now, granted, in between then, if we're going by, like, you know, the story, they boned. So I can see why you would think the ground had changed a little bit about what she was calling for. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. So then Michael comes up with this gem. Dealing with multiple women is stressful. It's like, well, then don't deal with multiple women. What's wrong with you?
It. Right. Because, okay, so then... Yeah, because he's like constitutionally incapable of doing anything with women besides like flirting with them and keeping them on the hook. Because
yeah.
Megan comes back on the phone. He calls Megan back. He FaceTimes Megan while he's out on his cigarette break, while he's already got two other women like all up in his shit.
Yes.
Right. In the middle of that, I'm going to go call this other girl too. And the whole time, he's really flirty.
Yeah.
Like he's keeping her on the hook. He's complimenting, oh, making those hits, right? Yeah, that's right. Smiling at her.
Yep. Like, says he's going to go visit her.
Yeah, and she's like, I won't hold my breath. But you can tell she's still into it.
I know. What like, is wrong with these people? I don't get it. So then he even says, after he hangs up on the phone with her, he says that he can't give her what she wants because she wants to get married and have kids. And it's like, then why the hell are you stringing these people along? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I really feel he's incapable of just being alone. And so he's one of those people that needs to line him up because, like, heaven forbid that he's single for even a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. He's got to have another one locked and ready to go. Like,
yeah.
Because he does. Like, if once he leaves someone, he is there with somebody else the next day.
Well, like, yeah, because he's had them lined up, and it's like right. there's clearly overlap. So he thinks, and here's the other thing too, which leads me to, I think, something's going on with him and Sarah, is that he pretty much tells Maria, hey, look, I have to handle shit. You should go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is like trying to tell her, you know, hey, bounce, and I'm just going to stick around here, you know. But once again, kind of using the kids as an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, what? Yes. Excuse. I mean, if he was being an actual good dad, he would need to do that.
Like, yes,
he would need
absolutely.
To stick around and do it with the kids. But that's not what it is. It's just getting too hot. Like, there's too many moving parts.
Too many women.
You got to go over here.
I need to keep my bitches in separate states.
They gotta be in separate. I got hoes in different area codes.
Yes.
It doesn't work if they're all in the
He's
same
all
area
about
code.
That, right? That's very, very bad. So then Sarah, she just straight up goes to the hotel because, you know, she is pissed that he made a promise to Aviana and he didn't show up. And so she knows where he's staying. So she is just going to show up.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. That was pretty bonkers. Like, I was not a fan of that decision.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Like, if you get me mad enough, I'm that crazy bitch who'd do the same thing. I really am.
But.
Like, you can't avoid me. I know where you are.
But when she gets to the hotel, who does she fight with?
Oh, I know.
Does she fight with Michael? No, she wanted to fight with Maria. She hasn't
okay.
seen Maria yet, and she wanted to see Maria and stick it in her face. That's why she went to the hotel. It had nothing to do with the damn kids.
Okay. From that perspective, yes, you're right. That's not okay. But, yeah, if it was purely because – and why do they keep on using their kids as excuses for things, you know? Like,
yeah, that's not healthy. Not good for the kids.
No, because that really is how they get stuck in the middle of these things. So she wants someone to respect her. And, you know, it's just like, well, you know, Michael is never going to be that person. Why do you keep going back to him? Sarah, what are you doing? So, yeah. So Sarah rolls on up to this hotel. And my first thought is, where the hell are the kids?
Yes. I thought she said, no, she didn't. That was Brittany that said she was dropping the kids off so she could have a fight.
Right.
Sarah did not say she dropped the kids off to have a fight.
No, I feel like, were they in the car? Because that's also concerning.
Oh, wow. That would be...
So we don't know yet, because this fight was definitely cut off, to be continued.
Right.
Yeah. Maria yells at her almost immediately, saying, you don't need to be here. You could call him on the phone. It's like, yes, she's been trying to do that. He doesn't pick up. This is why she's here. So then Michael is trying to hold Maria back, which basically is just him like...
Just grabbing her boobs?
Yep. Pretty much. Copping a feel. I was like, all right, that's...
Holding her back by the boob. Just okay. Yeah.
Right. So they've had some interesting social media drama this week. Maria posted a picture of her and Aviana and pretty much calling out Sarah for being a shit mom. And she got destroyed by random fans because, of course, everybody's taking Sarah's side because, I mean, I don't even think, even though I don't think Maria is a great person, but I mean, I don't even think it's like a Maria thing. I think it's a people are anti-Michael and you're Michael's partner thing. So she got destroyed on social media. So she ended up taking that picture down. And then the other thing is there was a sighting of Michael and Sarah in Farmington coming out of a liquor store together. So this isn't like, you know, Babies R Us or Target. Uh-huh. You know, where they're buying diapers. It's like, hey, liquor store. So clearly a social call. So very much implying that in real life, in real time, that they may be still together. And this kind of goes back to like what we were talking about, you know, was Sarah truly over Michael? And I don't know the way that she wavered. It's like she knows he's bad for her. I'm convinced of that, but she just can't help it. She cannot stay away. It's sad to me.
It is. I don't know. That is, it's a dynamic I've heard of.
Yes.
And I just don't understand. It's a love-hate relationship. I don't get that. I my brain doesn't work like that. I can't be that pissed at somebody and that, you know, upset with the way they make me feel about myself and everything. And then also be like, but I just can't stay away. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so I think there's a big element that is changed. The dynamic is different when you have kids. And in addition to that, I would say that you have like kind of a somewhat unstable life. You know, like I think it's different for you and your ex-wife. Like, yes, you have kids involved, but you're not sitting there like yo-yoing back and forth, and it's because you both have stable lives independent from one another, you know.
True.
And it's very different for Sarah and Michael because they're really young, and you know, can Sarah support the girls with just her? I don't know. And maybe she needs more of that emotional support from Michael, and that's why she keeps on coming back, even though it's shit some emotional support. And then Michael keeps coming back because, you know, one, he can. And two, you know, it's like he needs the money, you know? So if he can get money when he can and whatever else he gets.
Yeah. Free bonus. Free bonus.
Yeah. It's sad, though. But I think their age has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think Sarah's going to have to go through a lot more before she, like, really, truly is over it and done. All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Andrea and Lamar.
Okay.
So I love Michelle. Michelle was
great. Yes. Yeah. I mean, Michelle is definitely the voice of reason in Andrea's life. And I mean, she has been from the very beginning.
Right.
So Michelle is like her only non-white friend in Utah.
Uh-huh. Like the one other black person in Utah.
Right. And so Michelle walks into Andrea, and Andrea just looks like such a lazy slob. Like lounging in bed with her box of chocolates. Like,
right. I'm just sitting here eating chocolates. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me of the stepmom in Cinderella when she's just like in her bed. Oh, people, you can wait on me right now. So Lamar is happy that Michelle is over because he thinks that she can try talk some sense into Andrea that the condoms are not his.
Right. Well, not just, I mean, about that. Yeah, that and other things. But that's what they're going to start with.
Yes.
Which I thought was really funny because, like, Andrea was like, at first I believed him that they were his brothers because I do see his brother wear that coat all the time. It's like, yes, that is more evidence, you know, plus the fact that the brother was, like, able to identify exactly where they were and what they were.
And the color of the condoms.
And the color. But she was just like, but, you know, I don't know. I think he's in L.A. with prostitutes and things. And that was one of my favorite lines in the whole episode was Michelle was like, wait, you just went from cheating to prostitutes. You need to tone it down like 10,000.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, because Andrea's crazy. Yeah. So Andrea says it's complicated. Lamar doesn't know how to make her happy. And this kind of goes back to what we've been saying this entire season. Yeah, Lamar doesn't know how to make you happy because you make it this mystery. It's like right. some kind of game to you where it's like you keep on putting these like scenarios together to like see if Lamar is going to get it right and you keep testing him. It's like Lamar is a simple man. Just freaking tell him what you want.
Right, but what she wants is to not tell him what she wants. That's yeah. part of the issue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I also think it's tricky too because she's like, you know, I'm a complicated person and I just, it's going to be hard for him basically because he's dumb, which is, she doesn't say outright, but she kind of implies it. He might not be able to figure it out. And I was like, you know what? I think the biggest problem is I don't think she knows like
That's
how
true.
To be happy. And so yeah. how is he supposed to figure it out?
Right. So I think also, though, the one thing, and this is kind of a bigger issue, is Lamar does know one thing that she wants. She wants to move or stay in Utah. And that is mm-hmm. the one thing that I can say that they're odds at. So if she's saying yes. that that's what's going to make her happy, I feel like she should just be explicit about that because she's trying to make it sound like, you know, he's doing all these other things that aren't making her happy other than, you know, the where they live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like everything short of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So did you catch the commercial clip?
I did. Nyla.
Nyla so, is a menace. Oh, my
Andrea
God.
Andrea couldn't teach her how to drive. So now it's Lamar's turn.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Nyla is a freaking menace behind the wheel. Like, oh, gosh. Did you see poor Tennyson?
Oh, did she, his head like hit the camera when she slammed on the brake?
She breaks really hard and Tennyson hits his face on the back of the seat. He's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
She's running over cones. She's trying to take turns like at 40 miles an hour, like in a parking lot. You're just like, what are you doing?
Oh, did you hear how Lamar got taught to drive?
Yeah, you know, School of Hard Knocks.
Nobody told him how to drive. He just had to figure it out when he was stealing cars.
Right. Yeah. He's like, you just got to figure that shit out. Yeah. So it was an interesting yet funny clip, which is good because mm-hmm. I feel like they don't have that much humor in their storyline.
Right.
Unless you consider Andrea's battery as
humorous. They had that scene, in the sex shop earlier. Like, they can always throw people in a sex shop. It can be funny.
Right, especially in Utah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we get back to the real world, and Nyla says that they have every chance to get out their arguing because they argue all the time. Right. And, you know, Lamar says that keeping Andrea happy is exhausting. It's like, yes, it is. It's like a full-time job.
It is. Well, Nyla was, you know, wise beyond her years and everything.
Yeah,
because she was like, because Andrea's like, well, we just need to get it out how I feel, and she's like, but you don't talk about anything else. You only ever talk about how you feel,
right?
And like, I totally am on board because it's not about like how you feel about the situation isn't going to fix the situation. You need to actually, what actionable steps are we going to take? What are we going to do? How are we going to act in the future? It's not. It can't just all be about, well, I feel like this right now. Like that's right. not good enough. Mm-hmm. If you do that, all you'll ever do is be stuck in the same place.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea wants to take Lamar out on an outing. And it was actually really nice. She takes him to this kind of lookout space, and she told Lamar, this is where I do some of my best thinking. And I really thought that this was the most productive conversation they've had this entire season. It wasn't like an argument. They were just kind of like putting everything out there, and they were being very like nice about things. So they decided to kind of just say explicitly that they promised to love each other and try to work on their compromises. And so the one thing that's just kind of been looming this entire season, where are they going to live? So how are we going to compromise on this if you feel one way and we feel another way?
And I am not a fan of their decision of how they of their compromise.
It doesn't seem good.
Bad compromise.
Right.
So the compromise they come up with is they'll have a family vote.
Right. Leave it up to the kids, essentially, because if you're split votes, you're really leaving it up to the kids.
So now it's the kids' decision. You're leaving it. And there's a good chance it might be the five-year-old's decision.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, because it's like if, you know, the older ones are split, yeah, it comes down to a five-year-old's decision, which is like where you live. It seems like there's a lot of intricacies that they're not going to understand, like, you know, a better quality of life based on, you know, how much further your money goes, Utah versus California. What kind of job does Andrea have in California? You know, what is their income looking like? So stuff like that.
Where are they going to live in California? And what's that going to do in terms of schools and things like that? Like, yeah, intricacies of five-year-old is not ready to handle even a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus, the only reason they agreed to it is because they both thought they were going to win.
That's, yes, it's so interesting to me. So Andrea's convinced that she has the votes and Lamar will have to move back. And then later on, you hear Lamar saying, like, he has the votes and they're going to end up back in California. So and it's interesting because I have to say, I think Andrea is right. Tennyson and Nyla, I think both will vote for Utah because, you know, they were not happy about going to California in the first place, having to leave their friends. You know, they're both in high school. Like, that's a tough thing. So to come back, they were excited about it. Priscilla is the only one I can think of that would want to stay in California.
Yeah, I think if you're comfortable there, moving during high school, leaving high school in the middle, that's hard.
That's traumatic for a lot of people.
Hard. Like, some people have a traumatic high school experience and just cannot wait to get the hell out.
Right.
And I can, like, that's a different story. They don't seem to be in that boat. But yeah, to have a place where you're comfortable and you feel welcome and you have all your friends and you have your support, your peer group, and then just be like, nope. Taking that away.
Right.
Go hang out. Go to summer school with the people who have been in school together for a decade and you're a stranger. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Sounds rough.
Tough. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what the kids vote for. All right. Who do we have left?
I wanted to end with Angela and Tony because they were my favorite. So let's do Marcelino and Brittany first.
All right. So it's the morning after Marcelino comes back from his poker coaching session, and Brittany is pissed. When he first comes home, she doesn't really even seem to acknowledge or notice. She's tired. She's like, whatever.
She's asleep. Yeah.
Yes. I'll deal with this in the morning. Like, I'm awake. I'm kind of aware what's going on, but I don't want to deal with this now. Then the next morning, she is all riled up.
Well, because apparently in between these two things, Marcelino sat down, ate like a bag of Cheetos and a six pack for some reason. Like,
yeah. He seems to like one of the dogs. He was hanging out with them.
But yeah, so he leaves his empties on the table. I did not know what was going on with that. It was weird.
We find out later that one of them was not quite empty.
Not completely empty.
No.
That's true.
Yep. So, oh goodness. Brittany, first of all, before anything goes down, she wants to go drop the kids off at a friend's house so she can talk to Marcelino.
Right. So that was the one. We don't have to wonder where her kids were because she did take care of that.
Right. Right. So then she gets back. She is pissed because Marcelino's lying about things that can harm their relationship. She would never do that. And he's never done that in the past. So she's ready to have that confrontation. So she starts by... You know, he's still in bed. He's been up real late. So taking off the covers and dumping a beer on him.
That's one way to wake somebody up.
Yep.
I don't know that I would do that because I would probably have to wash the sheets later.
Yeah,
like,
right.
In the mattress. Ugh, the smell.
Right.
Like a skunked beer, too. It was open and everything. So.
Yeah. So she tells him, you know, she's pregnant and, you know, she shouldn't be dealing with this. And his cousin called looking for him and then she just slaps him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she gave him a little bit more time to explain than Andrea did.
Oh, yeah.
When she attacked Lamar. But he was just... She did ask him and give him time, and he stood there looking like a doof, just like,
Very dumbfounded, like,
yeah, very dumbfounded face, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't think he was quite awake yet, like, he didn't know what was going on yet.
Right. Yeah, so she says she has zero tolerance for bullshit, which I'm like, good for you, you know? Like, it definitely, and she has kind of a, you don't see, like, the pit bull side of her. I believe it exists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
But you don't see it that much. And she definitely seems like someone who's a little bit more passive in the relationship. She comes mm-hmm. off that way. But she says that, you know, she's definitely been taken advantage of. She feels like she's been abused when she was younger by her relationships. And so she mm-hmm. has zero tolerance for bullshit. And I'm like, good for you that you learned your lesson and you're not going to deal with this shit. Because right. I would say that this is definitely, especially the way... where her head is and what she thinks is happening. Like, this mm-hmm. is definitely a place for you to get upset about, you know? She's not like Andrea getting upset about stupid shit that doesn't matter, mm-hmm. you know? Like, this is legit.
Right, right. This is, you knowingly did something. This wasn't a misunderstanding or a mistake.
Right.
Like, you went out of your way to deceive me.
Right, right. So she says that in jail, she would have just punched someone in the face if she felt disrespected. So I didn't mean she says that she has that side to her. So,
I believe it. But then so at this point, it's just like, all right, you got to tell her the truth, man. Like there's nothing to lose by telling her the truth. Like,
right.
But I don't know. And then he does. Right. And he, of course, he couches it. He doesn't. And I guess what bothers me about her is he says something like, oh, you know, I haven't been doing as well as I thought. You know, I've been having a little downtime. So I took, you know, I took responsibility and went to get help. And at no point does she ask the question I want to ask. It's like, wait a second. How much money have you lost?
Right.
Like, you need to be specific. What is down a little bit? What is not doing as well as I thought? What is that?
Yeah.
Because he is kind of bullshit with that, too. It's not like, because he's talking, when we have him on the camera, he talks about mortgage payments.
Right.
Like, that's not, there's nobody. You know, you know how rich you got to be that multiple mortgage payments are just something you can be like, yeah, we can float that. That's all right. I don't need that in my bank account this month. Come on.
Yeah. So she just, I think though she's upset that he's lying to her about, you know, losing money. I mean, she doesn't even have to know the details because it seems like she definitely shifted why she was mad at him through this conversation. At first, she was mad that he lied about, you know, where he was. And so now he's telling her where he was, and it wasn't that bad. You know, she was with a poker coach. And so now she's just like, but wait a second. Now you lied to me about our finances. So now she's mad about that.
Well, as she should, because that was the root of why he lied about where he was, because he needed to cover up the finances.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's why he didn't want to be like, well, why are you going to a coach? He didn't want to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought you were doing great. Why do you need a coach? That he was like, well, actually. And so like that was the root problem. And that's the root of what he was lying about was the finances.
Right. So Brittany had threatened before he kind of, you know, spilled what was going on. She threatened saying, I'm going to leave and I'm not going to come back for a while. So she ends up leaving anyway, you know, even though he told her what the truth is. And it's like, I hope to get the kids, but it's unclear if she's coming back.
I could see that. It's definitely a situation where she has to be like, okay, this is all new information that I need to process before I can make any decisions about what's going on. And you need to leave me alone so I can do that.
Right.
So who knows if she's just out for a night or two. Like, I could see that too, but I don't know.
Yeah. So they had a tiny little thing on social media come up recently. Nothing too dramatic because they're not a very dramatic couple. But it looks like Brittany did have her baby back in December. And it came out because someone who followed her on Instagram was, getting all upset because there was something, either she was tagged in it or it was something she posted with her smoking a cigarette fairly recently. And so they were basically mom shaming her, saying like, how dare you smoke while you're pregnant? She was like, I've already had my baby. Like, this is a non-issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably not great to smoke with the kids around anyway, but you know,
that's right. Yeah.
Not the same thing.
Yep. But congratulations, Brittany Marcelino. And it's unsure what their gender is. I don't know. I can't remember. Did they go to the ultrasound? And I want to say, didn't they find out it was another girl? Or were they having it a surprise? Because I remember she thought it was a boy, because she said that the trend had been boy, girl, boy, girl.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did that like gender reveal thing. I think they had the tech like write it in an envelope or something.
Okay. So they haven't quite got to the gender reveal part. All right.
Right.
So we don't know yet. It's probably why it's under wraps.
Probably why. Also, kudos on not like putting that out on wide social media when you have a baby.
I appreciate
that. Keeping something a little private. Okay.
Right. Okay. Last up, we have Tony and Angela.
Oh, this is my favorite. I laughed so much at this. This is so funny to me.
This is so awkward. Why would Tony and Tommy
even go shoot something together?
Yes, it makes no sense because they're not friends. Is Tommy in the wedding?
Maybe.
I can't imagine he is.
No, I didn't get the impression he's in the wedding. No.
Because Tony has a very clear hatred towards Tommy. I do not think he would be his best man.
Yeah,
or groomsman.
They were arguing about whether he could even come to the wedding. They didn't mention being in the wedding.
Yeah.
So
Angela basically forces this situation. She wants Tony to have better influences, is my feeling on it. So she's like, mm-hmm. Why, if he's friends with my friends, that'll be better. So he somehow sticks Tommy, a.k.a. Jerry Springer.
Right.
With
Jerry Springer Light.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Springer with Tony. So they go suit shopping for the wedding. And Tommy's suspicious. He thinks that Tony's running a hustle. He thinks he's scamming Angela. And Tommy is, you know, just trying to look out for his friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And if it comes to what he's going to have to do, if he hurts her, he'll do what he has to do and take care of it. Okay.
Oh, God.
So at this point, I know where I'm standing. Tony would kick the shit out of Tommy, right?
Oh, yeah, he would. Well, okay. There's a couple things here. If we're just saying, like, you know, all out Fight Club style, yes, Tony would totally destroy Tommy. Tommy seems like a gentle soul in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
Plus, Tommy is older, quite a bit older than Tony. Tony doesn't seem like he'd move very fast to me. Everything he does is so slow. I mean, like, everything he does is so slow. Like, it's taking him a while to process things.
Right, but I think, you know, spending as much time in prison and stuff as he did, I'm pretty sure Tony could, it wouldn't be a long fight because Tony would just be like, pow, pow, and the fight would be over. Like, that would be it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, I don't know. So but before we even get there, you know, like, it starts off kind of awkwardly polite. They're very awkward friends. Like, this friendship would never happen naturally in the real world. There's, like, a weird age difference. They just, I don't know, it's completely different backgrounds. I don't know. The only thing they have in common is Angela, really.
Basically.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting that Tony, he's never owned a suit before. So, I mean, that part's not that interesting. But he was like, I don't know what size I am. Literally, the first suit he picked up, I was like, that was like perfect. That was like your size.
Uh-huh.
When does that ever happen?
However, the one he tried on later.
Yeah, that was not good.
Was not its size.
Yeah, Tommy tried on a jaunty hat. I was like, all right, Tommy's getting into, I don't really know what exactly, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So we're looking for the suits, and it was when they found the white suit that Tony was like, "Ooh, the white suit."
Tony says he likes the white suit.
Incredibly too big for him.
He looked like a
kid trying on his dad's suit. Like it was all bunched up at the bottom. It was so big on him.
Oh gosh.
So big on him.
One thing that I think is notable is that Tommy just is incredibly supportive, you know, like this whole time. It was almost like father, son, you know, a little bit. He was just, you know, oh, yeah, you like the white suit. Oh, yeah, I can see that. Oh, yeah, you really love Angela. Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, he's just like whatever Tony says, Tommy is just like, oh, sure, sure. So Tommy decides, I don't know why he decided to tell him this is so unnecessary. He tells Tony that, oh, you know, that there was that time where I proposed to Angela once and he was being very shady about the timeline because he just didn't want to tell Tony that it was while they were together.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, I don't think you guys were together. Gee, I don't know. Huh?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I got it.
Yeah,
maybe you were, but I didn't know about it. Yeah, that must be it.
Right. And then Tony's original response is like his mono face. He doesn't look shocked or upset. But then it was actually interesting. He then gets pissed off and then his mono face is not so mono. He actually
a little bit less mono.
Pissed. Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh.
It was a subtle. I think he looked it was a subtle pissed.
Yeah, definitely could tell. So Tommy warns Tony not to hurt Angela.
This is the funny one too. So his mono face comes back with this,
Yeah.
That he just, mono face is like, well, have you ever killed anyone before?
I know, right? As he blinks at him while the rest of his face is completely frozen.
Right. And Tommy's like, no. He's like, well, then you shouldn't talk about it until you've done it.
Yeah, like, until you've killed a man. You don't know. Weird blinks.
Weird blinks, total flat face. Oh, man.
I know. He's so weird. And they kept on showing that clip where they're all in the car. And then someone in the back, I can't remember if it was Tommy or the other friend, asks if Tony's ever killed anyone. I don't want to talk about that. It's like, oh, my gosh. I don't think you killed someone. Well, at least that's not what you went to jail for. I don't think you'd be out.
Okay. True. I mean, I could see, you know, like get too morbid about it. If it was like something like an involuntary manslaughter or something.
Oh, like he, you know, like DUI and
hit
someone and killed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that I could see if maybe he killed someone and then just never got convicted for it. Possibly.
Killed a drifter.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem especially violent or anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah, so then Tony goes home and confronts Angela about keeping the Tommy proposal a secret.
Oh, man. Tony was so excited to be on the righteous side of an argument for once.
Yes, he absolutely was.
He was like, wait a second, I have her this time.
Yeah, he's like, oh my gosh, you lied to me. You kept something a secret. And then she's like, excuse me, that had nothing to do with me. You know, it's nothing I did. How am I supposed to help if Tommy proposed to me? You know? Right. I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't want you to be upset.
And then he starts trying to give her rules. Well, you made my rules. I'm going to give you rules, too.
She is like, prostitution is not the same. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then comes my favorite part. And this is why I saved them for last, because it was my favorite part is when he goes, well, you can't see Tommy anymore. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, but he threatened me. And she goes, well, are you scared of him? He was like, well, no, but.
The way he was I think it's hilarious. She's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, oh my gosh. I actually like Angela. I think she has terrible taste in men. But, you know, it's like she's not going to let him boss her around. She definitely appears to wear the pants in the relationship. However, where Angela loses me is that, and I mean, she even said this at their dinner last week. It's like she just doesn't want to lose him. And so she is going to put up with a lot of shit, but I don't know. She's not going to let him walk all over her, though. At least when it comes to setting rules. When it comes to cheating and coming back, that's a different story.
Just, the, it was so bad. I paused it to laugh when she was like, well, are you scared of him? And he was like, no, but still.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, too, that Tony says, Tommy threatened me.
Because even she was like, it wasn't much of a threat. Come on.
It wasn't. Yeah, but Tony and Angelo, they both think that Tommy is trying to cause problems in their relationship, which is fair. He is, it's not because, well, maybe I don't know this for sure. I was going to say, it's not because he's trying to have Angela to himself. Because it almost even when Tommy proposed to Angela in the first place, to me, it came up in the context that was like, anybody's better than this guy. Like, you can marry me. Sure. You know, like, come on.
True. True.
Yeah, I feel like he's just trying to save her.
All right. So that almost covers all the couples. But you also mentioned to me before we started that the one couple that wasn't on it, Cheryl and Josh, had some social media stuff that we should dig into first.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So where we left Cheryl and Josh off last was that Cheryl was admitting that, you know, she's not done with convicts. So, oh, my gosh. She was not wrong. She is not done with convicts. So this guy, oh my gosh, you just need to pull up his picture. It's so freaking ridiculous. This guy that she is currently has a picture in bed with has, how do I describe him? He has very shaped eyebrows for some reason. He has like the biggest, fullest lips. This tiny pencil thin mustache, face tattoos, and he is a convict. And then I think Crazy Eyes Cam has been posting stuff about Cheryl, and so she's been all up about this guy. He is, like I said, he's a convict. And apparently she has also posted some Instagram videos within the last few months that make it seem like she's really high. So things are not so good in Cheryl's world right now. Did you see the picture?
Why does he have duck lips?
I don't know. He's got like crazy duck lips.
He looks like he's making the duck lips.
Okay, he's got crazy duck lips. He's got like face tattoos. Look at his eyebrows. They're super like pencil or like shaped. He's got this... like, it looks like he drew a, like, took a marker and just, like, one sweep over, like, his mustache area.
Oh, yeah,
My gosh.
I guess, you know, some people break up.
And she does. She looks super high in this picture.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. She always seemed, she was so skinny that, like, her having a drug problem was never out of the realm of possibility.
No, but absolutely not.
She just, it's like, I guess, you know, some people break up and they get back on Tinder, and other people break up and they start emailing convicts.
So, yeah, let's give credit where we found this. So we found this on Love After Lockup Savage Edition 3. And so apparently they had also posted a video a couple weeks ago. I guess she was with a different convict. So in bed. So I feel like she's making her rounds. She's playing the field in the convict dating pool.
Yeah, I feel like she's downgrading. I feel like Josh was a certain upgrade from these other guys.
Josh, as much as he has flaws, one thing that we can say about him is that he did not seem obviously high or that into drugs. So, I mean, that's like, I don't know, kind of a big deal in these people's worlds.
Right,
because it seems like that is definitely a recurring and underlying issue for quite a few of them. Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah. So, students of the week.
All right. I'm with Tony. Just he made me laugh. He got a little mad. He kept it kind of under control. Like when he got some bad news, he kept his straight face. He clearly got mad, but didn't get violent, didn't get yelly. And then again, I can't stress it. He made me laugh.
He's got that mono face going for him.
It was very, So it was a situation where the deadpan comedy brought by the mono face really, really helped.
Yeah, definitely. And his weird blinking.
Yeah, right. Who was your student of the week?
My student of the week was Alice for recognizing that she's enabling Clint and not giving him a ride. I definitely feel like this is a step in the right direction. You know, at some point, you just got to cut them off. And you got to let tough love this shit. And, you know, mm-hmm. she has not been the best at this in the past. And so good for Alice, putting your foot down, even if it's as small as not giving him a ride somewhere. Who did you have as dunce?
Sarah.
Yeah.
Too much, like, starting the shit, like, trying to make other people jealous and playing people off each other. We talked about it a lot. I just didn't like basically anything she did. Honestly, her actions this time made my whole opinion of her go down quite significantly.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Because it's like you feel like she's come so far. You feel like she's such a good mom. She's trying to protect her kids, do by right by them. Mm-hmm. Try to keep Michael involved just because he's the father. And then it's kind of like it makes you rethink all of that. You're like, right. Well, were there ulterior motives behind that? Were mm-hmm. you kind of using the kids just to like keep that connection going? You know, yeah. it does make you question a lot of things that she's done in the past. I agree. But that's interesting that you should say that Sarah is your dunce, because my dunce is actually Megan. For as little as she was on the show, it's like... Uh-huh. You're barely hanging on. You know, he's told you the last time that, you know, yes, there's other females, and she's still calling him, you know, like trying to be in the mix. And it's like after he's ghosted her for how long? It's like, right. Wow, that's just so sad.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. Dunce. Okay. All right. What about your life lesson?
All right. Well, if we kind of already said it, but I want to reemphasize it, is you should not and cannot leave major life decisions.
Oh my God, that was
children.
Mine too. That is so funny. That was my life lesson. Like, do not leave major life decisions up to your kids. That is so weird.
You should totally get their input, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely take their opinion into consideration, but they cannot be the arbiters of what you do with your life.
God, I know, right? Oh, so I guess we only have one life lesson since we wholeheartedly agreed on that one. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we only have two more episodes left in this
apparently
season. So we're still trying to figure out what to do with ourselves. And so right now, if you follow us on Instagram, I know we haven't been that great at Instagram. Actually, that's more so my fault. Definitely dropped the ball when this last quarter started. Got super crazy busy. But we do have a poll up right now, if you feel so inclined. If you would like to have us recap season 4, 90 Day Fiancé, we were doing classic episodes before we switched over to do this, or Love is Blind. So I started watching it and I had some thoughts.
So it sounds like, yeah, me and Ms. H are going to watch Love is Blind and talk about it anyway. It's just a matter of whether we do it on a podcast or not.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, I certainly have thoughts about it, but everybody else does too. And so it's like, we don't want to just like throw it on the pile. So we thought we'd, you know, get your opinions on it. So.
Right.
Yep. Fill out the poll on our Instagram if you feel so inclined. It's in our highlights or our story.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure how that works.
Oh, it's not so bad. Just click the buttons.
Okay.
Click the buttons.
Just click around everywhere. If porn pops up, you did the wrong thing. So
definitely. There are no porn links on our Instagram, Mr. O. Jeez.
Not yet.
You're definitely doing it wrong. All right. So we will be back again then next week for our penultimate episode of the season.
That's right. See everybody then.
Okay.
Bye.